Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
How's that for an intro? James Bostic, a conservative's perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio, Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be. Because it is some of the very best of libertarian and conservative talk radio that you're going to find out there. Mojo50.com. Just like the top drawer programming you've got here at Patriot Nation Radio. You've got myself here with a conservative perspective. Two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You've got Guapo, the handsome one, none other than Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio, live Thursdays, 8 p.m. Wednesdays, we've got the American Allegiance program, brand new radio host, author Kevin White, author of the book Growing Up White, also visionary behind Brownie Fox Publications. And we have every other Monday knocking it out of the park, just like he always does. And this coming Monday, no exception, my man, Gary Binford with United Patriots Uprising this Monday. Mark it on your calendar. And buckle up, because it's going to be awesome this Monday, July 26th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is where you're going to find this program. Gary's going to be talking with Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn. Yes, that Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn, United Patriots Uprising, this Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't you, by God, miss it. And I'm not playing around. That's going to be huge. Okay, well. Really, basically, the show is going to be somewhat anticlimactic after that because I really don't have anything. It's a good day, though. beautiful out here in the Mountain State. Mark's got on tonight from the producer of the movie Vaxxed, the one and only Dale Bigtree. He's going to be talking with him about the scamdemic, the Delta variant. We have, speaking of, you know, we may as well just go with that. Played this on the Tuesday show, worth getting into again, because we need to be reminded, basically, of well, what a rat bastard this guy Fauci is. I know, I'm sorry, I don't think you can say rat on the radio, but anyway, there we are. And he's, you know, he goes up, you know, if he's in the media, the only place he's going to be is like CNN or MSNBC or some place, you know, that's just sycophantic with him. And there's one guy that has gone after him. There's one guy that's gone after him and has gone after him consistently and with good reason, and that's Rand Paul. And they've gone back and forth. And we played this clip, I said, on the Tuesday night show. It's worth playing again. And you know why I do the clips? It's better you hear it from them than me half-ass paraphrasing it. Rand Paul reminding Dr. Anthony Fauci as to the penalties for lying to Congress. Make sure I get the right one. Here we go.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combined genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches," these are Dr. Ebright's words, "this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause." Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. What was? Let me finish.
If you take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Yeah, basically, that's what's going on here. It was American taxpayer dollars that was sent to this Institute of Virology in Wuhan. And, guys, just so everybody's clear here, any institute of anything in China is going to involve the Chinese military in some fashion, whether in its practical application, whether in its intelligence potential, whatever it may be. Excuse me. The military is going to be involved. So the Wuhan Institute of Virology, they make it sound like it's this noble humanitarian endeavor that's constantly studying viruses and coming up with new ways to combat them to keep the planet's population safe. No, no, no. It's a weapons factory. There's only one thing that gain of research or gain of function research does. It weaponizes naturally occurring viruses. That's its only purpose. That is its only purpose. We have a quasi-military institute research center in Wuhan province dealing with viruses, dealing with virological studies, virulent strains. That's you. None of this goes on without the Chinese military's knowledge. None of the research goes on. None of the gain-of-function research goes on without the knowledge of the Chinese military. A biological weapons processing facility and manufacturing facility that is supervised by the Chinese military is given American tax dollars by Dr. Anthony Fauci to fund their gain-of-function research. Remember, again, what we touched upon was gain-of-function research. That is the weaponizing of naturally occurring virus strains and enhancing them so that they can affect humans, so that they can debilitate humans, so that they can kill humans. Because remember, on the battlefield, for every wounded soldier, there's two other guys that have to take him back. So maybe we don't kill. Maybe we just maim. We just wound with this virus. Talk to anybody who's had the damn thing. There are people who have residual issues from this everywhere, every day. I see them all the time. Whether it's something as mildly irritating as the loss of smell, to back issues, to rheumatoid arthritis issues, to liver issues. And where did it come from? Right. Well, of particular interest in this whole mini-series is Dr. Fauci. And, you know, from last year up, Dr. Fauci seemed like on the surface, the calm and informed voice of reason regarding COVID, though it didn't take long for intelligent people to notice he had started to walk back basically everything he'd said earlier. And he even flouted his own mask rules. You guys remember at the Nationals ballpark last summer? I mean, a lot of ego with Fauci, as we heard in the clip just now, and not much substance. But since he has positioned himself against Donald Trump, the drive-by media love affair has continued nonstop. We now know a lot of different things about Anthony Fauci. We know that he knew the virus originated in Wuhan, and it was his illegal use of taxpayer money that helped fund the development of this thing. And now that this is happening, Fauci's getting nasty about it, and the leftists love that because they like nasty people. And the conservatives, they're rooting and cheering and loving on Rand Paul because he's playing it cool and he's using facts to have Anthony Fauci treated and perceived as the corrupt man that he really is. Now, if you look only at mainstream news, the establishment news, and you know who I'm talking about. If you looked at him 18 months after China's COVID assault on the world, you would have to accept, number one, Fauci is the genius who saved us, not only from COVID, but from Trump. You're going to ignore his flip-flops on masks. You're going to dismiss his many and varied lies when it came to herd immunity. You're going to have to overlook his connivance with Democrats to deprive Americans, deprive Americans of early intervention with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, both of which have substantially reduced, may have substantially reduced the massive die-off of America's senior citizens. That die-off, by the way, has saved the government a fortune in Social Security money, as well as the state funds that are used, spent on the elderly and Democrat-run states. So all the things that the media tells us about Dr. Fauci being the great benevolent healer. No. And we know this. I mean, here's what's happening. This is why I call this the silly season. And that is because all these things that are happening around us, they're all still very important. They're all, at critical stages, here and there throughout the half-life of whatever the story or whatever the event is. But at the same time, who the hell's doing anything about it? Even when it isn't the silly season, who the hell's doing anything about it? I mean, we talk about it, and we point it out, and we look at it, and we lay it out, and we unpack it. But in the long run, what the hell happens? Nothing happens. Nobody goes to jail. Hillary Clinton's never going to get perp walked. Nothing's going to happen because Dianne Feinstein had a chauffeur that was, for 25 years, an asset of Chinese intelligence. No, nothing's going to happen to anybody. No. It's a big club and we ain't in it. But as John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. And the truth has a way of revealing itself, and there's nothing unsubstantiated about Senator Rand Paul's claims. The truth is, Fauci lied when he denied the possibility that the virus came from the Wuhan Institute, a military research facility in Wuhan, and insisted that it came from the wet market. Our friend Claire Lopez squared us away on this a year and a half ago, when she came on talking about and she had just immersed herself in everything that was going on with the beginning stages of this pandemic and its causes and its origins. Well, that was a self-interested lie, not just because the Chinese were helping Democrats ensure that Donald Trump could not win the election, but also because it emerged that Fauci has the hots for gain-of-function research. And he did. He used American taxpayer dollars in Wuhan to bypass American prohibitions. So you're not allowed to do that here. that he's really he's hot for the gain of function thing. So he dumps American taxpayer money, your money, my money. And he gives it to the communist Chinese so that they may further their attempts to weaponize naturally occurring viruses against, that's the only thing gain of function does. So armed with these facts, Rand Paul is slowly but steadily beginning the process of reducing Fauci's power and reputation. It's pretty safe to assume, on the other hand, that the Biden Department of Justice is not going to do anything about this. But Rand Paul, just to be, you know, just to cover his bases, he sent a referral against Fauci to the Department of Justice. And as he explained in Fox News, it's a necessary first step in holding Paul accountable. And he says, I think it's important to know that Dr. Fauci has a self-interest in obscuring any relationship or responsibility for anything done in the Wuhan lab. Without question, the evidence we presented in the committee yesterday, which is where that clip came from, by the way, the NIH was funding research in Wuhan. We showed the exact numerical series of numbers that goes with the grant numbers. So, yes, they were funding the Wuhan lab. Senator Paul also explained the definition of gain-of-function research, as he did. We all know what this means. So right now, as we're talking about it, as we've been talking about it for months, Anthony Fauci is getting away with this because no one, apparently besides Rand Paul, is questioning him. He goes on left-wing news networks to give him easy questions like, Rand Paul is so out there, isn't he? Nobody's going to talk to him about this stuff. They're going to talk to him about the attacks and what he has to go through in the back and forth in these congressional hearings, but nobody's going to talk about gain-of-function research. Let us say, and Rand Paul's pretty good at what he does. I've got a bunch of back and forth between these two guys, and if you ask me, Fauci comes up on the losing end every time. But let us say, as we have said throughout all the trials and tribulations that we have bandied about since this program's been on the air, and that's been, it's been a long time. And once again, let's say it's true. Let's say that Rand Paul can do what he needs to do, that he can prove to the world, to everyone that's interested, all and sundry, then Dr. Anthony Fauci is indeed a liar, that he's lying about the gain-of-function research, that he's lying about where this thing originated from, that he's lying about dumping money into the research to weaponize this thing. It's all there. It's all out. We know it is. We see it all the time. Every day, more and more of this information comes out and is not denied. What's going to happen with this kind of information out there? You know, you would think that we would have heard from the Attorney General as to looking into this and outraged that this kind of thing could happen. And there is no room for perjury in Senate hearings. And no. Fauci is one of the guys. Okay, he's a good fella, all right? There we go. Then nothing's going to happen to Fauci because Fauci's a good fella. He's in with the family. And he knows he's a good fella, and they know he is. You tell me what's going to happen based on what has happened previously, all things being equal. Yeah, that's it. That's what's going to happen. But at some point, and I keep referring to this point of critical mass, wherever it is and whatever circumstances are you know, going to bring it about. At some point, something's got to happen. Like we talked on Tuesday night, you know, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And if you look at the action on the left, the property violence, the physical violence, the invective, the rhetoric, okay, there's been some pretty violent action. So when it comes time for this reaction, and Ron said it the other night, Ron Edwards from the Ron Edwards American Experience graced us in the last half hour of the program on Tuesday night, and we talked about this very thing. And he went ahead and addressed it, and he said, you know, at some point, you know, this is going to have to be stopped. And it appears that it's going to have to be stopped, and it's going to have to be met with violence. No one is an advocate of violence, certainly not Ron Edwards, definitely not myself. But, again, eighth grade physical science tells us for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And look at all the different actions. Look at all the actions that have been taken against the center right, you and I. Again, part of that, you know, silent and becoming less so all the time majority, because that's what we are. Look at all the action that has been placed against us, against those people. All the violence. You know, all the wanton and indiscriminatory attacks on our societal institutions, on our culture. And, you know, culture is one of, you know, the three-legged stool of a nation. And what is that? That's our borders, our language, and our culture. Those are the things that most commonly and accurately define the nation. Michael Savage said this years and years ago, and there's no changing it. It's borders, it's language, and it's culture. And there are these malicious and malignant, insidious elements of you know, political subversion on the left that thrive in this environment of violence, of chaos, of terror. You want to look for your domestic terrorists? Yeah, you can talk about the Klan. It's not the Klan. It's Antifa. It's BLM. I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. We all know this. Down at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a little musical break. We will be back with more of Conservatives Perspective right here on Patriot Nation Radio.
I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California, home of mine. Straddle that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina. Had motor trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away I bought me a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of Louisiana, just help me get to Houston town. There are people there who care a little about me and have all let the poor boy down. We'll be right back. bought me a silk suit and put luggage in my hand. And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. But working on a T-bone steak, all I caught it flying over to the Golden State. When the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would set us at the terminal gate. Sweet and low chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Cut your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, give me Norfolk, Virginia, died 1-4-10-09. Tell the folks back home, this is the promised land, call the Pendable Boys on the line. Working on the T-bone stage. He would set us at the terminal gate. A swing low chariot, come down easy, taxi to the terminal zone. Touch your engines and cool your wings and let me make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, you be Norfolk, Virginia, died 1-4-10-09. Tell the folks back home, this is the promised land, calling and the poor boys on the line.
Trying to run me up a creek so you can buy it, gold, try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde haired, good looking, trying to get me hooked, want me to marry, settle down and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay for something wrong, dime gone, will me order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Okay, good. James Mosick here, Conservative Perspective. That is the kind of Elvis that I'm talking about. That is the kind of Elvis I've always liked. I like the up, you know, fresh out of bed, handful of amphetamines, let's hit the day running really fast, Elvis, instead of that downer barbiturate with thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe she left me just because I screwed all them women out in Hollywood, Elvis. This is the much better Elvis of the two. Way better. I like him up. Okay, back to it. We do this a lot, too, and, you know, by damn, I'm just going to keep on doing it because it's like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about except me. I love talking about this. And you can tell because I've got like a million clips on it. Yesterday, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, doing a town hall. And this was CNN. It was Little Gay Don Lemon. Friendly territory. Friendly host. Nothing but softballs. Underhand, slow pitch. Like Nerf softball. T-ball. Nerf T-ball. I mean, there's just nothing he could go wrong here. And the comment that I'm going to make at the end of this is what really ought to, you know, kind of bother everybody. I'm just going to play it. Obviously, it's a town hall, and they're handing him softballs, you know, like, I don't know, like, Mr. President, Quaker Oats or Cocoa Weeds. I mean, I don't know. It's like, you know, that's what he gets. They don't go into any depth. They can't go into any depth. The guy doesn't have the intellectual stamina for anything like that. Okay, let's just go ahead and play it. The question had to do, in a roundabout way, with the efficacy of certain medicines and their temporary or permanent status. And, oh, God.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be? We know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved but permanently approved.
Yeah. But wait, that's not all.
Have you taken a cognitive...
No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion... I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental my physical as well as my mental fitness.
That's easy for you to say, Joe. I threw those other ones in because once you get started on that stuff, you go down the Joe Biden mental rabbit hole. You just can't set one foot in, man. You got to go. You got to get in there and immerse yourself, and that's what we did. But you get the idea, okay? We've seen this. And we've seen this 100 times since the campaign. You know, he's a presidential candidate. Now he's the sitting president of the United damn States. He can't put together a coherent answer to a simple question. And he spews out this word salad that, you know, has apparently been injected to his brain via the earpiece that he's wearing. If the stakes weren't so high, if things weren't so dire, and that's not a word I throw out casually. I don't think, man, probably haven't said dire except in connection to Dire Straits, and that was 30 years ago with a band. It's bad, people. And as our friend Michael Cutler has reminded us, President Biden is surrounded by some pretty vicious people, some pretty cunning and vicious people. And I'm sure that as far as they're concerned, the cloudier Joe Biden is, the better. The murkier this guy is, and he can still ramble around in there, great. because that gives them free rein to do whatever it is they're doing. And what is it that they're doing? Really? Really?
Yeah.
However, as we see example after example of this, and here's the thing we got to know, guys, it's happening with greater frequency. It's happening with more and more rapidity. That means fast for those of you out of Flat Top Lake. And at some point, it's just going to happen. And I think we're starting down that road now. At some point, the rate of cognitive decline within Joe Biden's mind is going to outstrip any benefit of whatever nootropic cocktails they've got this guy on. It's just not going to work anymore. Now, I said I was going to say something that, you know, should bother you a little bit, and by God, it should, because here's the thing. His handlers would not have sent Joe out there to do that unless this is what they would have considered a good day. A good day.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah.
Thus, the leader of the free world, however long that may be. Do you have any idea what the hell he just said? No one does. It's word salad. It's alphabet soup. Being eaten by a dyslexic kid. We don't know what the hell it means. He doesn't even know what the hell it means. Can't understand what's taking the Disney people so long with the animatronic Joe Biden. Can they not make it dumb enough? Apparently that must be the artificial intelligence can't be dulled to Joe Biden's presidential levels, so they can't bring it out. Jesus wept. This was a good day, okay? That's what I'm saying. This was a good day. So, having said that, just think for a moment. Imagine what it's got to be like on the days where they call a lid to things. And they're calling a lid because he is not cognitively up to the challenge of the day-to-day routine that day. And neither is Kamala Harris. Neither is Kamala Harris. She didn't even carry 1% of the vote in her home state during the primaries. Not even a 1%, man. I think she barely beat Eric Swalwell. You guys remember the fart boy? If we got that, he's worth, and Fang Fang. Oh, my God, that guy. And he still got his, he didn't lose his seat. He bangs a Chinese spy. No, he does. He bangs a Chinese spy, and we know about it. He's on the House Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence. Has he lost his seat? Hell no. Get a load of this. And no, really, he did, okay. You can't see it on the video, but here we go.
So we're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Okay, no, that was not added in. I didn't just, like, inject a fart. Now he's in. That's real. That was on Neil Cavuto. And here's the thing. You know the bastard did it, because if you can see the video, he's trying to keep from cracking up, the smug little son of a. And then he denies it, okay? Then he has the stones to deny it. And I'm like, what a sophomoric jerk wagon. She had to bang you on orders, dude. A loser like you can't get something. Anyway, never mind. So, yeah, so these are the people in power. These are the people in power. Hell, I could get on there and fart on national television, and I wouldn't shy away from it either. I would own it. If you're going to walk up to the bell, man, you may as well just ring it. I mean, Jesus Christ. Okay, it happened. It was embarrassing, but no, not me. Not me. Yeah, it was. Oh, God. That wasn't really even related to anything, but let's hear it again. That was
so cool. We're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for
bastard.
U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far
everything.
The evidence is
I'm
uncontradicted
so
that the president used
sure,
taxpayer
so cool.
dollars
I,
to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Yeah,
and the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Not dead air, man. I'm just thinking about the empty-headedness of these fools. They just... You know what? Maybe Carlin was right. Maybe we get just exactly what we deserve. You know, maybe we get the political leaders we deserve. Maybe that's exactly what goes on. When it comes to that, I think a large measure, certainly a large measure of Democrat voters, I believe to be intellectually lazy, intellectually dishonest. I feel that they're very dogmatic. They're very doctrinaire. And a lot of people, you know, well, why do you vote Democrat? Why am I a Democrat? Well, I'm a Democrat because my dad, especially around here, my dad was a Democrat. And his dad was a Democrat. And his daddy before him, by God, was a Democrat. And I'll fight you. There you go. Now, these people, these folks, that you know, kind of have that philosophy that it is a tradition, a family tradition, if you will, to stay with one political party. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. A lot of those folks with that philosophy aren't in favor of guys being able to pretend that they're girls so they can walk into a ladies' restroom. They're not in favor of gun confiscation. They're not in favor of illegal aid. They're really not. They're not in favor. They're more, if they are left, okay, let's call them center left, but really more center. But at the same time, because they have this dynastically embedded political ideology within them, they're not voting for people that really support the true issues that they have. They're not voting for people who represent the values that resonate positively with these folks. They're voting for the people that are doing the things they don't want. But they got a Democrat in office. They got a D by their name, so we're going to vote for them. Vote the man, not the job. How many times do you ever, I don't vote party, I vote the best person. And you know what? That's great. If you do it, that's great. But it calls for a level of political awareness on a national and a local level that I think a lot of people aren't willing to pay the price to do. That's why so many people really don't start paying attention to national politics or in the election cycle. They don't really start paying attention till during the times of the conventions and the last month, 2 months before an election cycle, whether it's the presidential or the off-year cycle. And they watch the debates. And, you know, the media is so canted and so twisted and so anti-center-right. Actually, anti-center-left as well. And so, you know, that takes up the political center and the right. They don't care. And they're going to work, and they're going to manufacture a narrative. And while a large measure of the country is asleep, they're going to run their game. They're going to run their con. Don't believe me? Look at how we got Joe Biden. Am I dogging out the American people? No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would kind of, but not really. I mean, but it's just the truth. And the American people are tough enough to take a little self-criticism every now and then. If we sit around and we caterwaul and we moan about the fact that we've got such a crappy government, we all do it. Okay, well, how did we get that crappy government? Well, it's the elected officials. Right. Well, who put them in there? Yeah. What? So what does this say as to our level of informedness, which is not a word, but we're going to go with it. You get the idea. I didn't have to tell you that was not a word. I could have probably just skated on through there and conned you into it anyway. But our level of being informed. What does that say as to the diligence with which we vet these people? What does it say to the questions we do or do not ask? Well, it says we suck at it because look at these guys. They're crooks. They're lying, spy-banging fart letters like Swalwell. They're doddering old fools like Joe Biden. They're empty-headed young fools like Kamala Harris. They're the sons of communists like Pete Buttigieg, edge. So, yeah. Physician, heal thyself. You want a less shitty government? Then stop putting shitty people in there. Start paying attention a little bit sooner than September before the election. Do your homework. Listen to guys like me, Guapo, and Gary Benford, and Kevin White, and Ron Edwards, Don Newman, Donna Fiducia. There's a lot of great, solid, reliable people out there. You don't have to listen to see. You don't even have to listen to Fox for crying out loud. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm not really irritable. I'm just, you know, just kind of the way that was. I really feel pretty good, honest. But you get the idea of what I'm saying. It's you want a better government, it's going to be up to you to put better people in there. And when they start going bad, you know what? You voted them in, vote them out. Yeah, term limits are awesome, and I think they're great because there are a lot of people that just lack that discipline. All it takes is one time. One time. You get in one time somewhere. House of Delegates, state legislature. You're never coming out. You keep raising enough money. You keep working on those people that you're beholden to. And then you're into Washington. You'll never leave. Orrin Hatch once said it is impossible, straight up impossible, to go to Washington, D.C. and return an honest man. Harry Truman said it was impossible, impossible for an honest man to get rich in politics. So yeah, term limits are great, but again, you voted them in, you can vote them out and make sure that who you vote in their place has been vetted, that you've looked them over, that you don't buy what you see at first sight. You got to ask the difficult questions, see where they're at. Who do they associate with? We got to start doing this stuff. I mean, there's no way around it. We got to be more responsible in terms of our political education. We have to understand how our government works. Really works. Here endeth the lesson. A conservative's perspective is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio and blogtalkradio.com. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Mojo 5.0 Radio Network, Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, well, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio that you're going to find out there. Again, quick reminder, Sunday simulcast, Ron Edwards Experience, the Ron Edwards American Experience, 3 p.m. right here on Patriot Nation. Monday, July 26th, D-Day, Jerry Binford, United Patriots Uprising. We'll be talking with Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn in an exclusive interview that everyone here at Patriot Nation is just insufferably pleased with. Congratulations, Gary. We're looking forward to getting this on. That's all the time I have. We're going to go ahead and turn it over to the handsome one right now, the one and only El Guapo himself, Mark Hoffman. Hey, Mark.
What's happening, James? What's going on, brother?
I don't know anything, man. I just work here.
You know, me too.
Yeah, and I know you got some good stuff going on tonight, and we are spot up on the hour. Have a great show, my friend. You've got Dale Bigtree is going to be on there with you. Good stuff all the way around. Another guy that's absolutely worth listening to in terms of the scandemic and the fear propaganda that the federal government's shooting all over the place. Have a terrific show, Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio Live.
Yes, indeed, folks. And that was James Bostic, and his show is A Conservative's Perspective. Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Ron Edwards on Sundays, simulcast 3 p.m. United Patriots Uprising every other Monday, as you heard, the 26th coming up. This coming Monday, General Michael T. Flynn live on United Patriots Uprising. And then on Wednesday, American Allegiance with Kevin White. Check out his book, Growing Up White. Good stuff. Really cool, awesome things happening at the Patriot Nation Radio Network as we keep expanding this stuff.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about the funeral or like the last day when the officer just passed. They actually go and the dispatcher will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number. He will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. come down your representative for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's D-A-V-E-B-R-A-Y USA.
That's right, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission. The Storyteller Edition is out now, so you want to check it out and get yourself a copy of Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition yourself. You will not be dissatisfied. Of course, I want to say hello to everybody out there in Radio Land. I want to give a big shout out to everybody. Our new team, we got a great big team. We got a lot of shows. We got 5 nights a week now on the Patriot Nation radio show, folks. So you want to make sure that you check it out as soon as you humanly possibly can. On Sundays, Ron Edwards, The American Experience. Monday, United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. Tuesday, A Conservative's Perspective with James Bostic. Wednesday, American Allegiance with Kevin White. Thursday, again, with A Conservative's Perspective, followed by this show right here, the Patriot Nation radio show, the show that started the whole network. And we are rocking and we are rolling, coming at you right now. Without further ado, I want to bring in our guest because we're running out of time. I feel like I'm always running out of time. It's already 8:05. I still got 55 minutes to go, and I'm running out of time. That's my anxiety. I'm always running out of time. Kevin, Gary, everybody in the live feed, please share this at least once to your friends and invite. Hit the invite button. That'd be great. Because we got great response today. And, you know, I want to make sure that we get tons and tons more response. So I'm going to do a little something here. Let me do this. Do I have a copy of the link here? Yes, copy to the clipboard. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring in our featured guest tonight. His name is Mr. Del Bigtree. He is the producer of hit TV show. He was the producer of hit TV show Dr. Oz. He is the producer of the movie Vax, which tied the correlation between the MMR, mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine, and autism. He came on the show. You might have seen his viral video near the middle of the pandemic where he did the test with his son when it came to, he did the test with his son with the OSHA-certified CO2. It monitors the CO2. It's an OSHA-certified one. So it's like the one that they would bring to you at your job, you know. They bring it right to your job and let you and test the CO2 in the air at your job. And he came on and, you know, explained all that. And Facebook said it was all rubbish and that it was false information and misleading and all that stuff. We all know that bull crap. It wasn't false or misleading. It was fact. It was truth. The guy did it with the meter, right? He stuck it right in the mask. Even the face shield had elevated levels of CO2 with the CO2 reader. And, of course, we're out here, everybody's out here about this vax and the Delta variant and the controlling of the people and all this type of stuff that's going on in this country. It's really crazy. Some people wouldn't know tyranny if it slapped a mask on their face and told them to stay 6 feet apart from their friends. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Our featured guest this evening, Mr. Del Bigtree. Welcome to the show, Del. Thanks again for your time tonight.
Man, you already got me laughing. We haven't even started. That's hilarious. It's like Matthew Pitt made you stand 6 feet apart. That's hilarious.
You know?
It's true. It's true. What's it going to take? I mean, boy, do you realize that you've got a totalitarian dictatorship that has just told you the air you breathe is illegal to breathe. That's what's happened. We just spent a year where we are not allowed to breathe the air on the planet Earth. I mean, if that didn't wake you up, I don't think you can be woken up.
It's pretty crazy. Now, my last episode, maybe it was the episode before, I had a young lady on who took the face masks off their children because they came home with horrible rashes on their face, bacterial, fungal infections on their skin from under the wet mask all day. And her and a couple of friends sent in 6 masks that were used all day in school, They sent three masks that were brand new, came out of the package. They sent a shirt, and the pathogens, Dell, that came back on these masks was shocking.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Shocking. Well, look, we are in constant contact with deadly bacteria and viruses. This is what people really have forgotten because the media is so busy trying to terrify everybody. But right now, as we speak, you have probably most likely got strep crawling on your arms, around your face, MRSA, all of these things that could be deadly. But if your immune system's strong and healthy, it doesn't affect you. That's how we live on the planet Earth. Your body is so brilliantly designed. Your immune system is handling all of these issues. Every time you take a breath, and it didn't just start this year, for your entire life, every time you take a breath, you're inhaling millions of bacteria and viruses. Every time you eat something, you're eating and swallowing millions of bacteria and viruses. There's a battle of bacteria and viruses happening on your skin as we speak. And your body and your good bacteria and the good viruses have been winning the battle every day of your life. What you don't want to do is throw that out of balance by, say, stop breathing oxygen, by creating a wet environment around your face, not going out in the sun and getting vitamin D. Those are the types of things that could really set you off. And now we are. I mean, I know I'm not having to let you ask a question yet, but we're seeing a rise in RSV, an upper respiratory virus, is running rampant across this country in our children. Why?